Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Into the word. We're going to be in Romans. I'll try to pull this out a little bit. Romans. Romans is the longest, most systematically reasoned of Paul's letters. It's been a doctrinal letter, justification by faith, that Jews and Gentiles would have the same salvation. And we're going to get into, chapter 8, which is one of my favorite chapters. Chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He who searches the hearts and knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you even for the Apostle Paul that would write this letter to those Romans even 2,000 years ago. And thank you that it will bring life to us as well. I pray for even freedom of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would have free reign here as never before, God, that we could pray and that you would help us to pray. So sometimes we don't know how to pray, but you would help us, I pray. In Jesus' name. This one portion here, all things work together for good. Sometimes we use that and, something happens, get a flat tire, all things work together for good, the plane's delayed, all things work together for good. And, I think God can work things together for good. You get a flat tire, you end up witnessing to somebody, your plane's delayed, and it's better to be delayed as opposed to crashing or, whatever it might be. But when it says for the good of those, I think what it really has to do is the eternal good, the good that we would be conformed into his image, much more than our comfort. Sometimes our American Christianity, we think that everything is about us, that we're the center of the world, center of the universe, and, it starts and ends with me, and, as long as I'm comfortable, as long as I'm entertained, as long as I'm satisfied, as long as I have everything that I need, then, of course, life is good, but if I have that comfort challenged in any kind of way, then, it's not working out for good because I don't feel good. Well, really what God wants is more than us to be happy, more than us to be comfortable, he wants us to be like Jesus. More than our happiness, he's concerned about our holiness, our conformity to Christ. So that's, that's just kind of a little side note to put it into the context. I mean, the Romans, when Paul wrote this, they were still crucifying, the Roman Empire was crucifying people. Many of the, Christians, they paid a great price throughout history. Just got a text from a sister from our Every Nation Church in Orlando. She just got back from Cuba. Which there being a Christian, in some of our other places in Africa, Asia, what used to be, behind the Iron Curtain in the day, and there's been different periods of persecution where people have been more worried about being like Jesus and winning other people to Jesus as opposed to, just a prosperous, life is good, Jesus is here to bless me. Well, Jesus is here to be the king more than anything else. And if we're in his presence, yes, we will have fullness of joy. And the joy is not going to come from our, material comforts as much as just from his presence. Anyway, that's just kind of a side note. I do want to get into this where it says the Spirit helps us in our weakness. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, even at the Bethel School of Discipleship and the Bethel Leadership Institute, some of the courses that we have, spiritual disciplines, spiritual gifts, you'll find out about the Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity, that there is God, there is one God. God is three persons. Each person, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is fully God. Some of the things that we've learned, about. It's easy to imagine or to relate to God the Father because of the earthly representations of Father. Easy to represent, Jesus, obviously. He who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus the Son. But then this Holy Spirit, and some of the older versions say the Holy Ghost. And so you kind of wonder, what is this ghost? What is all this spirit? And, that kind of stuff. But let's just talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit. He You know, because a lot of times people will say it. So my oldest daughter just had a baby girl. And so we don't say it. You know, how's the baby? Oh, it's fine. We don't say it. We say she. You know, with the Holy Spirit, he is not an impersonal force that we're talking about. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. What I'd like to do is just talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit and talk about why can the Holy Spirit help us to pray? It's kind of the question we want to answer. And then just prepare yourself. We want to get into groups of two or three, maybe four, and just pray through some different areas. At least once a month, we want to have a time kind of corporate prayer. So I'm just going to try to teach a little bit about that. And what I want to do kind of is to provoke a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Because I know when we talk about Him, we talk about the Holy Spirit, and even talking about some of the different symbols, you know, that the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus during His water baptism as a dove. You know, a dove, in a sense, can be easily, I don't know what the word is, you know, not spooked that God would be afraid of something, but a dove can be very sensitive. Also, you know, not that one image or one symbol would fully represent, but when you see them all, the fire of the Holy Spirit, the purifying fire that everything that it touches would bring into a purification, like gold and silver are purified through fire. That's what the Lord does, the Holy Spirit does in our lives. Or a wind, a rushing mighty wind on the day of Pentecost. Rivers of living water. Holy Spirit is symbolized in those kinds of ways. When there's been drought, then they're looking for water. And if your life has been a drought, just a dryness in your soul, the Holy Spirit can come along and bring those waters, living waters. Like when we're thirsty, if we get that water, we're refreshed. I'm hoping for a refreshing of the Holy Spirit. Those are some of the different symbols. And once again, it's like the parables of Jesus. Not one parable will give you the fullness of the kingdom, but when you take them all together, same way with the Holy Spirit. When we talk about Him, when we see the different functions that He has, when we see the Holy Spirit's Godness, that He is God. Why can the Holy Spirit help us? First of all, when we pray, He can help us pray because He is omnipresent. What does that mean? That means He's everywhere all the time. That means while we're praying right here in this sanctuary, maybe you've got a son, a daughter over in the upper venue with the youth, and you're praying. Well, God is over there as well. Even if you're from Africa and you're praying here in America, you pray for Africa, God is over there. He's big. He's over there. He knows exactly what your parent, what your grandparent, what your child, your grandchild, and He knows exactly. That's another one. You know, we're jumping ahead, but the next one is He's omnipotent. Omnipotent, that He has the power. We're not praying to a dead idol. We're not praying to a wooden or to a stone idol that can't do anything. But even as the Holy Spirit came upon Mary in the conception, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. How shall this be? With God, all things are possible. So even as we pray and as we dream before the Lord, all things are possible because He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. That means He knows everything. He knows what the object of our prayer, if you're praying for somebody, He knows exactly what that person needs. He knows who that person will come in contact with. I remember one of my sisters, we'd been praying for her. And if you have people that, you know, maybe don't know the Lord or aren't as close to the Lord as what you would like them to be, you know, we pray, Lord, send somebody. That's kind of one of my standard prayers is, Lord, send the appropriate person to speak to them. It might not be you. But then my sister told us that she had joined this club for cyclists, bicycles. And turns out that, you know, some kind of cyclists for Christ. You know, God answers prayer. God knows, you know, maybe common interests with somebody that can speak. God is omniscient. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what's going on. How is it that Jesus knew that the woman at the well had had five husbands? Go call your husband. I don't have a husband. Yeah, you're right. You've had five, John chapter 4. Well, that was Jesus, Son of God. Well, I believe that was a gift of the Spirit, a word of knowledge that God in His omniscience, He knows everything. He reveals just a little bit. And the Holy Spirit can help us to pray because he is omniscient. He can inspire our prayers in that kind of a prophetic prayer that he can tell you how to pray in that kind of a sense. We can release through our words even the power of God. God is, number four, God is eternal. That means he's going to be around for a long, long time. Long time. I think it was George Mueller, the old prayer warrior of earlier centuries, had this orphanage, hundreds if not thousands of orphans, and always, you know, praying for the provision. At one time they needed milk and they needed bread, like for that day for the orphans. And they're praying. They have no breakfast. They're praying, Lord, we need milk and bread. And all of a sudden, in the middle of their prayer, they heard this big crash outside. It was the milk truck crashed with the bread truck right outside the orphanage. And he kept a detailed diary of all his prayers, especially for people that he was praying for. You know, and some of them he prayed for decades for their salvation. Those four or five people, he kept that. And somebody was asking him, well, these two, they got saved, but these other three, they haven't gotten saved yet. What's going on? Your God has not been faithful. Oh, my God is faithful. One of them got saved shortly after that. One of those got saved during his funeral, seeing the casket lowered into the ground. And then one of them got saved after that. You know, our God is eternal. So even when we're long gone, he can still answer some of those prayers that we're going to pray. So our time here is not going to be in vain. We're going to be investing into the eternal. God is eternal. You know, God was involved. The Holy Spirit even was involved in creation. Genesis says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And when God said, let us make man in our image, that us, the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image. The Holy Spirit was involved in the incarnation. The angel said to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. When Jesus became a God became a man, it was the Holy Spirit bringing about that miraculous conception. The Holy Spirit was involved in the resurrection. Romans 8, the same chapter. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Those are just a few of the things that the Holy Spirit, you know, but why he can help us, because he is all-powerful, because he is all-present, omnipresent, because he is all-knowing. Let's have that confidence that when we pray tonight, that we'll have our answers to our prayers. Also, just a few things that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. John 14, 26, the helper. And when it says the word helper, the different translations will use different words. The parakletos, the advocate, the one called alongside to help. The advocate, or in Spanish we would use the word abogado, the lawyer that comes, the helper, the counselor. Different translations would use different ones, and probably they're all right because it's difficult to translate just directly from one language to another. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He will teach us how to pray, even in our small groups tonight. He will bring to your remembrance all that I have said. When you remember a Bible verse, when you remember somebody's voice in a preaching, you remember Pastor James, something he said. Sometimes I'll remember phrases from a sermon of 20 years ago. Is it that I have a good memory? No, I'm connected to somebody who has a good memory, and the Holy Spirit brings it back. It's been deposited somehow into the vault of all the things that the Holy Spirit can bring to my remembrance. And even as we pray tonight, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance things. He will teach us. And then in John 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will declare to you the things that are to come. Holy Spirit can declare to you situations. He can give you a little insight. I compare it sometimes to the kind of the radar screen that I have kind of on my heart, that, you know, people will kind of come into that radar screen, and, you know, when it seems like this is my experience. I don't know what other people have, but it's like the Holy Spirit brings it onto my heart, my radar screen. All of a sudden you're thinking about somebody, you know, and why are you thinking? And then what happens to me is the accuser of the brethren, you know, the devil, he comes along and he starts to pull up all the bad things that person has done. And I'm not saying I've gotten to a perfection. Sometimes I take that bag of snakes and I open up the door and, you know, I take that in sometimes and just kind of, you know, agree with it, because historically the devil will use a little bit of the truth, and historically, yeah, that person did do, you know, that, but then he'll take you to the wrong conclusion, you know, of cutting off fellowship, of, you know, just getting angry and bitter, and maybe you have forgiven in the past, but the devil will try to bring that up again to try to get you into that bitterness again. But what I'm learning is when that person comes on to my radar screen, you know, what I need to do is just pray for him. I was talking to one of our pastors in Lima, Peru, and I talked to him. I said, now, where have you been lately? What have been your challenges? Why is it that you're so much on my radar screen? You know, and then he'll share, in that case, opportunities. I shared that with Pastor Rice one time. I'd say, Pastor Rice, where have you been? What dark alley have you been going into, you know, that you've been preaching? Where have you been? And that the Lord's having me pray for you so much. And he just looked at me and he says, thank you, man. You're keeping me alive. You know, but let's just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that when he puts people, you know, especially the pastors, the leaders, I believe it can happen a lot, even with, you know, political leaders. All of a sudden you get this, you know, the Lord wants you to pray because he declared it. You know, first of all, the prayer supplication should be made for all those who are in authority, Timothy. And then we get that same thing, all the wrong things. Well, let's just pray. You know, we have a higher advocate. We have a supreme authority above any earthly leaders. Amen. Or like what Pastor Jim LaFoon shared here about a month ago. He said it's kind of like when you're treading water. He grew up, I guess, out of San Diego, the coast, something, a lot of surfing or whatever. He used a surfing illustration. That when you're just kind of hanging out in the water with your surfboard and you're just kind of waiting for a wave, you know, just kind of praying in the spirit, praying in your heavenly language, and you wait for the wave to come, the kind of the inspiration, the pushing, the nudging of the Holy Spirit, and then you take that wave and you ride it. You go that way. Jesus said in Matthew 18, he said again, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. When it says here, when two or three agree. Now, I know that God can hear us all. You know, if we all pray at the same time, I know that he can hear us all. But if you're praying and I'm praying, I'm not going to be able to agree with what you're saying. You know, so we're going to get, in a minute here, we're going to get into small groups, two or three, four. You might have to move around a little bit. And, you know, maybe you've never prayed before, you know, with your out loud. It's just like talking to the greatest, the most close, loving Father. They don't have to be long prayers. And if you're used to praying, then don't dominate the whole thing. You know, let other people. You know, it's kind of like when you practicing for volleyball and you just kind of tip the ball back and forth, and it just kind of let it go back and forth a few times. You know, go around the circle a little bit. You know, be sensitive and listen to other people, and sometimes what they pray, then you can agree. You can say amen. And I'm just trusting the Holy Spirit. I know it happened in Acts chapter 10 when Peter was preaching in Cornelius' house. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came upon and just interrupted, and they started speaking in tongues. You know, we are a church that believes in the present day gifts of the Holy Spirit, that he is here, gifts of healing. You know, we'll pray for the sick and believe in that they will be healed. Gifts of tongues, especially in small groups where you can pray mysteries in the Spirit. You know, he might even come upon you even as I'm preaching. You know, the Holy Spirit give you some new words. The mind is unfruitful. You don't understand. But the Spirit, the inner man is praying, is being edified. You know, we want to be able to listen to one another. But you can go ahead. You can pray in the Spirit. Pray in tongues as he would lead you. If you don't have that gift yet, ask him and say, Lord, you know, he who asks receives. He who seeks finds. Just ask him, reach out in faith and say, Lord, I want that too. And if he starts to put some new words on your mind, your heart, your tongue, you have to speak them out. You maybe don't know what that is, but the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know how we should pray. You know, as we pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues, unknown language, the Spirit gives us the utterance. Okay, amen? So I do have some topics that I'd like us to pray for. If you could, I'm going to give you about 30 seconds to get in.